Glory to God. Well, praise God. Welcome everyone to our fellowship around God's Word. It's only distance separating us physically, but praise God, each one of us, I trust, united with Christ. Praise God, united with deity, dear friends, baptized into Him, supernatural work, joined by the Spirit to Him. And that means we have that unity one with another. Praise God, not because we're striving at it, but because the Holy Spirit Himself, God Himself, is working it. So welcome everyone, and I trust that this evening, as we open our hearts to the Word, we will receive deliverance, the way God has presented it to me. Let the Word of God do that work, dear friends. Let God's Word heal, let Him deliver, let Him do that work. Praise God. We're moving on from body ministry. Not that we ever actually do move on, but you'll see what I mean. Praise God. We've been looking at the body of Christ. We're now going to look at the mind of Christ. The mind and the spirit of Christ. And everything we look at now really is going to be the outworking, praise God, of body ministry. It is the spirit that quickens, dear friends. The flesh profits nothing. So this new section we're going to look at is our new life in Christ. Our new life in Christ. Dear friends, have we caught on to the fact we have a new life in Christ? Not religious, not fleshly effort, not striving, not intellectual, but a new life in Christ. His life is the life that lives itself. We cannot strive, we cannot work. Now, don't get me wrong in this, please don't misunderstand this, but we cannot strive in the flesh, we cannot work in our own strength at obedience or not being disobedient. We cannot work in our own strength at trying to maintain our new life in Christ, because it's the life that lives itself. And we're going to look at this, we'll read some scriptures and open up. And my message to those who are seeking, who are believing, instead of trying to get the Word, I must let the Word get hold of me, I must get the Word in my heart, let God's Word get a hold of you. Let God deal with the heart. Because it's too deep. It's beyond our ability. Flesh cannot crucify flesh. And so as we look at this, let's believe, let's trust the Lord for open hearts, that the seed of God's Word this evening will find that place in a prepared heart and bear a hundredfold fruit. Because it is only the life, it is only the Spirit in God's Word that can produce the fruit. One of the great mysteries of the kingdom. And are we seeing, are we understanding these great mysteries tonight? Or are we still striving in the flesh, trying to obey God? Glory to God. So Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's interesting, isn't it? Not just be renewed in your mind, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Praise God. The new life in Christ. Chapter 4 of Ephesians 17 to 24. Dear friends, when God created Adam in his own image, he started with a body. He started with the body, out of the clay, out of the earth. And he breathed into Adam, he breathed into him his spirit, the breath of life into his nostrils. And it wasn't simply the spirit in the sense of some animating principle, but he imparted, God imparted to Adam of himself, his spirit, his image, his divine image, the ability he placed within man, the ability to commune with God. And that was a conscience, a will, a reasoning faculty, everything that God is in terms of a moral, reasoning, intelligent being placed within man, the ability to commune. Now, so in new creation, we see here, praise God, we've been looking at the body of Christ. We're now going to look at the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? How does the Spirit of Christ work in us? By mind, we don't just mean brain, we mean the way of thinking. We must think how Jesus thinks. The mind of Christ. We don't approach God and his word intellectually, philosophically, but by the Spirit. You know, you cannot create spirit. God did not create spirit in man. He imparted spirit. He imparted his spirit into us. Now, God didn't, in that sense, God didn't create you and I in the sense that he created Adam. We exist by a thing called procreation. The Bible teaches transducenism, which means that each generation partakes not only of a mass of cells, the body, but spirit and soul and life. So your children have your spirit, your personality, your life within them. They're not just a mass of physical, a body. This is why we believe what we believe about abortion and other things. And so, praise God, we have this remarkable statement here by the Apostle Paul. Let's read it. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Dear friends, they're still in the image of God. They are going to spend somewhere in eternity. Body plus spirit equals soul. Body plus spirit equals soul. The soul being the whole life and the seat and the source of emotions. But it's the spirit that gives life to that. Without the spirit, the body would just be a body. But it's the spirit that gives life, not just enables it to move and to function, but the soul of man. We don't so much have the soul, but we are that soul. And we're going to spend somewhere in eternity. Praise God. That wonderful day when he called us, he saved us, he forgave our sin. Not in an arbitrary way, but through our faith in the blood of Jesus, he revealed himself to us. And through our faith in the blood of Jesus, our spirit is now joined to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer alienated from the life of God, but because now our sins have been forgiven through our faith in Jesus, we are now one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we now have his life within us. His life, his light, his love now freely reigns within us. in every cell in our body, every aspect of our spiritual being, now, praise God, flowing, touched by the life of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, how do we maintain that? How do we continue in that? Is it an act of the will? Yes, certainly there is an act of the will. Praise God. But the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is what gives that will. He enables us. It's not an act of our will power, but it's the power of God that helps influence. And so I want to look at some scriptures now that deal with this newness of life, how it's created, how it's maintained. It is the Holy Spirit who maintains, who enables us to walk in that newness of life. Praise God. And I want to look at the first thing that God gives us in this, because we are hearing, now, these scriptures, they're going to be familiar, so praise God, but I trust they'll come as a new revelation, as illumination, deliverance. We hear the word a lot. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. John 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and our life. They are Spirit and life. Dear friends, you put that together with the parable of the sower. We know from that parable that the hard heart, the rock, the hard heart, the word is sown. Now, every single one of those aspects will read that, bearing in mind that the word of God is Spirit and life. Let's look in Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, verses 11 to 15. Luke chapter 8, verses 11 to 15, bearing in mind that the word that the Lord is imparting to us is Spirit and life. His Spirit, his life. Parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And that also means with us, right, that word saved speaks of redemption. It means, can also mean healed and delivered. It's interchangeable. Everything that we're believing for depends upon the word in our heart. There is a direct relationship between the things we're believing for and God's word in our heart. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation or trial, fall away. The ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience or endurance. Whatever God says or does will always produce the thing to which he sent it. It will always accomplish his purpose. Friends, those on the hard ground, on the wayside, the seed fed the powers of darkness. The birds come and eat it. So what does that mean to us spiritually? Well, it means judgment. It means judgment. It means that the enemy had a legal foothold to accuse them before the throne of God. It's awesome. But that word actually fed the fowls of the air. It was devoured by them before it could save the person who heard but who refused to hear. What about those on the rock? That's still hard-hearted. A thin layer of soil. The seed found enough soil to bear roots, but it was thin. The roots couldn't go any deeper, and it sprang up immediately, having no root. It still grew. The spirit and the life, praise God, still lived its life. But because there was no root, there was nothing to sustain it. Immediately the sun came up, immediately the heat of a trial, it falls away, it perishes. There's nothing nourishing, nothing sustaining, keeping that life. Nobody who partakes of God's love can ever end up in hell. Think on that a minute. Nobody who has truly been touched by the Father's love can ever end up condemned or falling away. And yet we have that situation where it bore fruit for a while. Why are we saying this? Because nobody who has truly been touched by God's love can continue in sin. One who has been touched by God's love will begin to have a depth in their heart to receive God's word and let it bear fruit. This is the meaning that he first loved us. And that love is actually outworked in our life. It's not just a thing we say, oh, I love God because he first loved me. But the fruit in our life reveals it. Let's put it another way. If we believe that God is jealous over us, it will be worked out in our life. It will be seen by the fact that we're jealous for him. We're jealous for his glory. We will not willfully continue in what we know grieves him. But praise God, he's got that under control. Because this life is continually living itself. This life is continually being faithful. Jesus is the one. Let's turn to Luke 22 at this point. Because we've all been here. You can't just say that there are four groups of people and I'm the one that's bearing fruit. Praise God. I trust that that is the case. But there's a work that God is doing in each and every heart tonight. And let's draw great encouragement from our Lord and from one of his chief apostles. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, or desired, King James, desired you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, when you have repented, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren, which we know he did. Now look at this that's going on in the heavenlies. Satan stood before Almighty God and prayed. It's a desire. He asked. He claimed a soul. He claimed the Apostle Peter. He stood before the throne of God in the courts of heaven and laid a claim to the Apostle Peter. That's what Jesus just said there. He saw into the heavenlies. Remember, Jesus is still on earth here. So God showed him in the spirit what was happening in the heavenlies. He has asked. But listen to what he said. But I have prayed. So here is a battle going on between Satan and our Lord, between Satan and Jesus. I have prayed that your faith should not fail. Glory to God. Satan makes a demand. Jesus has gone before and prepared the way. Now, we know that God is going to answer the prayer of what? A prayer of a sinner? Do you think God is going to answer? Praise God. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. When we don't pray, can't pray, forget to pray, too tired to pray, Jesus is still praying. He's still that heavenly intercessor, even when we fail. Praise God. Jesus is the true, the faithful and true witness. Even when we mess it up, he is still the faithful and true witness. Now that doesn't mean we live our life ignoring God's will for us. But fruit is not born in doing, but in dying. And allowing the Lord, his righteousness, his life, his light and love, to take over. Praise God. Let God's word, let the spirit of life that is in God's word find its place in our hearts and let him bear the fruit. When we read the parable of the sower, let's bear that in mind. It's not us that tries to have that good and noble and righteous heart. It's not us that tries to deal with the cares and the riches and meet those conditions. When I read that parable, I say, Lord, plough up my heart. Give me that good and noble heart. So that as you have ploughed it, you then cast your seed into that, and it will bear a hundredfold fruit because you've done that work in my heart. Give me that noble heart. Lord, you're the God of my life. You've imparted your spirit to me. You've reconnected me to your spirit through the new birth. Lord, therefore, give me that spirit. Give me that heart. Give me this hundredfold fruit that you speak of. I cannot do this in my own strength. Friends, I can't, you know, we're trying too hard, aren't we still? We still hear a strong message. We hear a strong word. I must do that. Whatever it takes, I will obey. I must get hold of this. Friends, we are not saved by trying to keep the law, by turning what we hear into a law. Friends, when the love of God is perfected in our life, the will to sin dies. We maintain this new life that we have in Christ. We experience the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit, by his grace, not by trying. It's God's word in our heart. When God's word is so living and producing the fruit in our heart, it's exactly the same as if Jesus manifested and stands in front of us and speaks that word. The reason that we're not making those breakthroughs, if we're not, is because there's still that hard-hearted heart of fear and unbelief. Fear will harden the heart, as much as pride and as much as unbelief. They're all connected. And this is why we war in the Spirit. Now there's a balance, because we're dealing at the moment, in this season, of spiritual warfare. Fear, Jezebel, and those things that we're warring in the Spirit against. But we cannot say, the devil made me do it. Can we? We cannot say, look, well, in a sense, in spiritual warfare, Lord, go get him. But we don't say that. We say, Lord, if we sin, forgive me. Forgive me. Help me repent. Help me turn. And there's the balance. We have to understand. Now, don't get frightened with this. There's that old fear again coming up, or condemned. Hear us for what we're saying. What we've got to realise Yes, we're believers. We're Christians. We're blood-bought possessions of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood covers us. Praise God. We are His. Settle it, friends. We are saved. But even the best of us, as was Peter's experience, both God and Satan can work through a human being. The same vessel at different times. That's a horrible thought, isn't it? That's an awesome thing to think about, but it's true. This is why God is closing those breaches. This is why God is delivering us like He is. And so there's the balance. That acknowledgement, that fear of God that will cause repentance, but also cause us to rise up in the faith and war in the Spirit and appropriate what belongs to us. But it's that feeding on the bread of heaven. We looked at John 6, He's the bread of heaven, right, Jesus? And that's the context of saying, My words, they are spirit and they are life. He presented Himself to the disciples, to the Jews, as the bread of heaven. Eat My body, drink My blood, otherwise you do not have life in you. And by eating His body, drinking His blood, we have His life within us. They couldn't handle that because they obviously interpreted it in the flesh. He wants us to be cannibals. He's not talking about that. He's then saying the Spirit will reveal what that means. The flesh profits nothing. You will never understand this in the flesh. You will never understand this by making a law out of it, by trying in your strength to apply these things. The flesh will never profit. It has to be by the Spirit. And the Spirit will reveal that this is God's Word. As we feed on His Word by the Spirit, His life begins to impart strength to us, and we can walk the walk of faith and the cross by His grace, by His strength. Nothing we do can save ourselves. Even trying in a devoted way to take up the cross and live the crucified life, we are doomed to failure. We are only ever saved not by works, not by might, not by power, by the Spirit, but by His grace. We're saved by our faith in the cross, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the cross, that bit of wood, but the blood that was shed for our redemption, our faith. And that Spirit, the same Spirit that empowered and led and enabled the Lord Jesus Christ to pour out His blood on our behalf, is also worked out in our life. It's called a commitment. And unless the cross is seen in our life, we can only talk about commitment in a religious, legalistic way. The Holy Spirit has to get hold, and we have to ask Him, believe, want Him to do it. And the first manifestation that will come upon us as we pray that prayer is a trial. And we'll run. We'll harden our heart. We'll resist. To resist a trial is to resist God. But that is the only way God can plough up that heart and make a furrow deep enough for the Word of God, for the seed of God's Word, to find its place and bear a hundredfold fruit. Those who are going through trials this evening, God bless you. God is going to honour what He's doing in your life. He's opening your eyes. He's ploughing a furrow that will go so deep in your heart that as you hear the Word, it will bear fruit a hundredfold. But do not let the anguish of what you're going through, like the children of Israel, they couldn't hear the word of Moses' deliverance because of anguish of spirit. God heard their groaning, He heard their cry, but they couldn't receive the message because they were so caught up in the angst of their trial. But you and I now, dear friends, we have the Spirit within us. We have the Holy Spirit within. They all forsook him and fled at the cross. Those in John 6 turned away at the revelation of the cross. They couldn't hear that word. The rest forsook him and fled when the cross was presented as an immediate reality. John eventually came back, didn't he? Praise God. He eventually was the only one left standing there, him and his mum and a couple of the sisters. What is it with us men? Why is it the women were the ones that returned? His mother and Mary. Don't we love the Lord, men, brothers? Do we not love him? Yes, we do. He's placed his Spirit within us. He has placed his Spirit within us, and we are going to stand. You say to me, this new life that you're talking about, this will to sin, how can I obey? How can I? Dear friends, let me remind you of what we're saying. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. As we endure our first act of faith, our greatest act of obedience, the greatest weapon we have for our deliverance is standing there. No matter what we experience, from within or from without, if we will just stand there, God will do the rest. As we endure, God is still building a foundation. I know it's taken 40 years. I know it's taken 30, 40, 50 years. But it's a foundation. And the 10 minutes that we have left, when that building goes up, will do more than a lifetime of us trying to build because we're impatient. Let it take its time. Let this work take its time, dear friends. That foundation is all important. That endurance, that enduring faith, that spending time in God's presence, because that means whatever happens, and a lot's going to happen, whatever happens, we will remain faithful to him in any situation. This is what our trials are about. This is why we go through what we go through. Because Jesus wants to test and to prove that foundation. He's building that foundation. Let him do his work. And we will find that we are those living stones laid upon. What is that foundation? Peter confessed to Jesus that you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the great foundation. Are we confessing that still, or are we doubting like John the Baptist? Yeah, he was in prison and he doubted. Are we looking for another one? Are you him that should come, or do we look for somebody else? Peter, that great confession. But he still had to learn, didn't he, the cross. And he tried to prevent him going to the cross. He still had some things to learn. Dear friends, our confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, based on revelation. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon. So you confessed him, Simon, son of Jonah. So he confessed him. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. We can receive nothing except it be given to us from heaven. So that revelation inspired Peter to confess, and that is the foundation. And on that foundation, that will see us through to eternity. Now, God has laid that foundation, Jesus has laid that foundation, and this is why we have to be so careful what we build on that foundation. Is it gold, silver, precious stone, or is it wood, hay, and stubble? And so this is the trial. This is the fire that we are now getting to remove that wood, hay, and stubble and allow that gold and silver and precious stone to characterize our life. Those hundredfold fruit. Friends, it's that humble acknowledgement that we cannot do this in our own strength. The cross is what saves us. And by definition, just by definition, that means there's nothing flesh can do, because flesh can't crucify flesh. Cross has come to deal with the flesh. And our righteousness lies in the choices we make. Our unrighteousness lies in the choices we make. We are faced each day with a whole bunch, a whole set of choices. What do we choose? And that will determine our righteousness. Don't blame feelings. I couldn't help myself. God has set us free for that very reason. And the reason we still make the wrong choice is a hard heart of unbelief. So, okay, it's impossible. With man it is impossible. With God all things are possible. And that's what we rest in. Yes, we've made some funny choices. We have made some ridiculous choices. We've done some silly things, irrational things. Fear is irrational. Unbelief is rebellious. But we're not rebellious, are we? We're not. According to what we've just read in Ephesians 4, we have a new life. We have not so learned Christ. We are a new creation in Him. So let's let the new nature live its own life. Let the new man in Christ come forth. At resurrection, He said to Lazarus, come forth. Let the new man in Christ rise up from that place of death. Glory to God. It's a new, it's a supernatural work. Peter promised all kinds of faithfulness, didn't he? Oh, I'll go to prison and to die, and we know what happened. But he went and he wept bitterly, went through that failure. He saw what he really was. Not what he wanted to be, not the wannabe, but what he really was. And praise God, Jesus had gone before. That's where Satan was going to get in. But I have prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. And his faith did not fail him through that situation, because the Lord Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. If his prayer on earth saw Peter through, how much more his prayer in heaven will see us through. Praise God. He's dealing with fear. He's dealing with unbelief. But that doesn't stop him being a God of love and grace and mercy and giving us these blessings along the way. Yes, there are conditions to meet, but don't let's approach God, I'm trying to meet these conditions so that you can bless me. Let's approach our God, Lord, work in me to obey you because I love you. Let him meet the conditions by his grace. Let him show us each day how to meet those conditions, how to bear fruit for his glory. Dear friends, let that new life live itself. Let our new nature, our redeemed, holy, righteous nature, come forth in all its glory. Because he is praying, he is meeting, he's representing our cause. Our divine advocate. He's pleading our cause before the throne of heaven. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. And as we rest in that, we will learn to move with him. We will rise up in his power, in his strength. We will experience his presence. We have a newness of life. It's a new way of thinking. Let's look at Romans 8, because we spoke about the mind of Christ. One thing to look at the body of Christ. But what makes the body work? The spirit. The mind of Christ. Romans chapter 8. I should really start at Romans 6, but as we go through this section, we'll look at that. But I wanted to look at Romans 8, because the key to understanding and experiencing Romans 7 and 8 is understanding what God has done in the cross, which is revealed in Romans 6. So you need all of that as a foundation. But God's grace, you know, it's going from 7 to 8, as it were, from our striving in the law and legalism and trying to put the word into practice, that's 7, and failing miserably, to the revelation that there's no condemnation to those in Christ who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. If we're in Christ, there's something about us that wants to walk in the Spirit. And as I've said it before, I know, I keep saying, praise God, As God's love matures within us, the will to sin dies. Yes, we were created in the image of God. We were recreated in the image of God in true righteousness and holiness. Holiness is not something we try to do. Sin is not something we try to avoid. As our faith works by love, we understand the significance of being separated unto God. Holiness is our separation unto God. And as we spend enough time with Him, looking to Him, we begin to conform to His holiness and image. We begin to partake of His purity and moral excellence. It's a lifetime's walk. Romans chapter 8. Start with verse 1. Verses 1 to 8. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those, so it's specific, not just no condemnation. We can't just call ourselves believers and then just do what we want. Augustine, depending which side of the pond you're on, said something very dangerous. He said something very dangerous. He said, love God and do what you want. Now, a shallow thinker will completely misunderstand that. Think about it. Love God and do what you want. If you love God, if you genuinely love the Lord, you will want to do His will. You will only want to do what He wants. That's a very dangerous way of saying it. Praise the Lord. I'm glad it was Him that said it and not me. Praise God. Things like that are so easily misunderstood. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's you and me. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To truly be in Christ is to walk in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not separate from the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a Christian means to walk in the Spirit. And how we need our minds renewed to that fact. It's not being religious. It's not just outwardly reading the Bible, going to church, whatever. Those things have their place. But the heart of the matter, are we doing those things in and by the Spirit, in and by faith? The reason faith works by love is because faith is a fruit of the Spirit just as love is. It's the same source, the same Spirit. Praise God. Love is, faith is motivated and operates by love. It can operate for a while without love, but God won't allow that to go on too long. That will go badly wrong. Faith works by love because they both, love and faith, come by the same Holy Spirit. The one and only, praise God, there is only one. The same Spirit that produces love produces faith. Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Praise God, are we walking according to the Spirit? Yes, because we're seeking His will. We're believing, we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We're not fleeing from the cross. We're allowing the cross to be revealed and presented and worked in our life. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. When, brother and sister, are we going to believe and receive that? Let's reckon it, let's believe it, let's confess it, let's experience it. The law of the Spirit of life, like the law of gravity, it always works. It's a law that works in the heavenly realm, that works in our life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. See, we have that new life in Christ, do we not? So the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There was a law working in our members, sin and death, but a greater law, an infinitely more powerful law, more righteous law, a law with greater authority, ultimate authority, has taken over in you and I. Satan no longer has authority over us. Sin and death no longer has authority over us. Only Jesus has authority over us. If What? If we believe it. If we receive it. If we're yielding and walking with him. Willful and rebellion, no, okay, that's a different matter. But we said earlier, even if we go astray, we have a heavenly advocate bringing us back. That heavenly shepherd bringing us back by fulfilling his priestly ministry, bringing us back into his presence. Do you know we at times we're all prodigals? The prodigal son took what God had given him and what his father had given him and spent it on riotous living. Eventually he came to himself, didn't he? He sat there, he suddenly woke up, nothing left, feeding himself on the husks that the servants were feeding pigs. He finally, that's what took to wake him up. And he said, my father's hired servants are living better than me. I'm going to go back. I shall fall on my knees. I shall confess I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Take me on as your slave. Just so that I can feed. Just so that I can have food and a roof over my head. And we know what the father did. He ran, when he saw him a great way off, he ran, embraced him, celebrated, brought out that fatted calf. And restored, praise God, restored to him his inheritance. Upset his older brother, his jealous older brother. But the father explained that to him. Praise God. When we don't pray, you know, we go through a trial. And we finally come to an end of ourselves. We finally go through a trial. We realise we're empty. We're feeding on the husks that normally should be given to swine. That wakes us up. It's chastening. It's a trial that wakes us up. We get back into a prayer life. Why? Because even while we weren't praying, the Lord Jesus was. Praise God. And we can use that analogy in different areas of our life. We're all struggling with. We all have one, at least one area, we just don't seem to get that victory. But friends, stay with it. We will, because we are getting those victories. The will is being influenced by our greatest affection, which is the Father's love within us. He's working within us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And when we finally realise, hang on a minute, I'm eating husks that should be fed to the pigs. That's God's love bringing us to an end of ourselves, realizing what our real need is. And we go back in humility, don't we? Back to the Father, and he's there to receive, to embrace. Praise the living God. Not to condemn, not to reject, not to say you deserve. This is what you do. But to embrace, to bring back as a son, not as a servant. Praise God. Now, that law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. The cross has done that. Praise God. And you'll say to me, yes, but I don't feel. Yes, but I'm not it. Stay with it, friends. Believe it. You're trying to analyse it. You're looking at your circumstances. You're looking at how you feel. And you're basing, you're evaluating your faith on that basis. Settle it. We have a new life in Christ. And that new life is more and more living itself and taking over. And is setting me free from that old life. I'm not a rebel anymore. I may have occasional problems with rebellion, but I'm not a rebel. I'm a new creation in Christ. And the Father's love within me is dealing with that sin. That's why no one who has truly been touched by the Father's love can ever go to hell. Because no one who's truly been touched by the Father's love will continue in their sin. Let God do it. Dear brothers and sisters, let God do it. Praise the living God. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Listen to this. He's not talking about legalism. No, he isn't. Legalism came in when they came back from exile, from Babylon. Do you remember all Haggai and Nehemiah and Ezra and that lot, Zechariah? That's gradually after Malachi. Zechariah then Malachi. It was gradually after Malachi, legalism became in. Between Malachi and Matthew, legalistic Judaism came in. If you look in the Old Testament, you don't see Pharisees. You see Levites that are either faithful or unfaithful, but you don't see Pharisees. That came in afterwards. So Paul is not talking about that. He's talking about the law of Moses, the law which is good and righteous and holy. And all the law can do is expose the complete inability of flesh to obey God. That's all the law can do. So it is, it's good, it's righteous and holy. But what the law could not do, which is in other words, save man, only grace can save, not law. What the law couldn't do because of the weakness of our flesh, God did it. Praise God, he did it. God did it by sending his son to condemn sin in the flesh. Not to condemn you and me, but to condemn sin in his flesh. And thereby setting us free, giving us his righteousness, imputing his righteousness to us, and taking upon himself the penalty of our sin. Praise God! That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All the conditions are met in us and through us and by us as we walk in the Spirit. The righteous requirements of the law are met in us as we walk in the Spirit. So don't just listen to this and think, oh, praise God, I've got to walk in the Spirit. I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit is touching hearts today and we're saying, Lord, show me how to walk in the Spirit. Whatever it takes in my life, show me, teach me. Help me walk in the Spirit. Give me that walk in the Spirit. Give me that heart that will receive the seed of your word and cause me to walk in the Spirit and bear the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. This is deliverance. And here we have it. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And that includes religion. That includes fleshly attempts to save themselves. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Where is our mind? Where is our affection set? What do we think about? What do we talk about all day? What are we concerned with? The parable of the sower, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, the cares of this world. That's flesh. That's the fleshly mind. But that good and honest heart that brings forth fruit with patience, and it will take great patience, lifelong patience, to bring forth a hundredfold fruit to God. As we spend that time, that quiet contemplation, that meditating, allowing the Spirit to show us his word. That's the mind of the Spirit, that's the mind of Christ. That's why Psalm 119 and Psalm 19 and Psalm 25 that says, show me your way, show me your path. Have you been in those Psalms recently? Meditating, Psalm 119, our relationship to God through his word. How the Lord expresses himself to us and in our lives through his word. Those are prayers that we can pray that will make sure we bear that hundredfold fruit. Praise God, are we spending that time or are we somehow otherwise occupied? But to be carnally minded is death. There it is. Even that means even in an attempt to do something religious, it's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And only the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, can give us that spiritual mind. And he already is. Praise God. But let that mind be expressed in us by the Spirit. How do we do that? By asking. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. We have to acknowledge that, dear friends. Praise God. Praise God. And this is our witness. This is our life, our witness to the world. This is our light shining. Now remember, Jesus is always, whatever we are or do, he's always the faithful and true witness. So let him, let whatever it is we do, let him within us, that new nature, let him express his faithfulness, his witness, his truth, his life. Let him express. Again, it's unbelief. We're not fully relating to this. We're not fully receiving this message because of fear and unbelief. And when we do, and we hear this message again, some are, praise God, no condemnation in that. But where there's a hindrance because of unbelief, because of a hard heart, this is what we must confess and acknowledge. Lord, plow up that hardness of heart. Plow up this heart so that those deep furrows can receive the seed of your word. Praise God, and he is doing it. He will. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Praise God. He dwells within us. We are not in the flesh in that sense. So why sometimes do we walk in the flesh? Because of unbelief. When we learn by the work of the Spirit to continually walk in the Spirit, there we will get all the redemption is providing for us. That healing, that deliverance, that walk in the Spirit, the ministry, no condemnation, dealing with all those hindrances in our lives. They're no longer, you know, hindrances, friends, as we go through trials, as we go through our persecution, as God deals with us and we just more and more conform to the image of Christ. We're building on that foundation. The fruit of the Spirit is being seen in our life. And we can rest in him. The devil will attack, but he'll no longer have any place within us. Praise God. There's our deliverance. There's our healing. I don't mean that in the sense of spiritualizing our healing, but that's where we meet with God. We meet God each day at the level of our faith today. And he deals, the first thing he deals with is our faith for that day. He's enlarging our heart to receive more, to embrace more, to walk in the Spirit. Praise God. You see, the carnal mind, we've said in Romans 7, is enmity against God. We will always oppose God if we try to approach these things intellectually. That's where the rebellion comes from. It's not because we're rebels. It's because we still think carnally. So there's still a mind about us that's at enmity with God. If we will put that to the cross, if we will choose, if we will make that choice to go to the cross, then we will experience the life and the peace, the victory that comes from the cross. At the moment, that sometimes in areas, the cross is nothing but agony and death, because that's what it does. But what the Lord wants from us in our experience is to experience the life and the victory, the glory that comes from the cross. And we'll do that by approaching it in the Spirit and not carnally minded, not legalistically. Praise God. Praise God. We have to settle one thing in closing with this. Proverbs chapter 4. Again, nothing new. Nothing new. Praise the Lord. But it is medicine. Proverbs chapter 4. Praise the living God. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Proverbs 4, verse 20 and following, my son. So there's something to encourage. We're his son. Praise the Lord. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. These are specific instructions of how to receive from God. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's the enshrining heart. That's ministering. That's meditating daily, constantly. You see, some are put off by the word because it produces feelings or whatever. Jesus addressed that, right? But to have depth, you see, the problem is, again, a hard heart. That's why we get all excited about the word and then in a time of trial we give up. But if we will just calmly, patiently sit before God and receive the word into a prepared heart, evaluate it, think about it, ask, talk to the Lord about it, commune with him. I mean, you know, you commune with Hollywood idols when you watch TV. You commune with yourself when you do a hobby, don't we? We find time and energy for the things we want, but when the preacher talks about communing with God, meditating and praying over the word, I haven't got time for that. I've got a life to live. Well, there we go. There we go. Now the Lord will reveal it. Now let's read through this. No condemnation in this. No condemnation. God will reveal. Listen. They are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. God's word is, it's life, health. That word health is healing, medicine, the answer. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So God's spirit, God's life through his word in our heart will transform our lives. It will affect our lives. All the issues of our life come out of our heart. So when God's word is in our heart, he will produce the issues, that which flows from our heart and life. Now I have been waiting, I've just said, health to all their flesh, the answer, all that I need in every circumstance, including my body, is in the word. I'm still waiting for some answers, but I know with all my heart, because God has said it, the answer's in his word, and he will show me at that right time. Man cannot do that for me. If I can't get it from the word, what is the point of going to a man? It has to come from God. It has to come from his word. The answer, his answer, is in God's holy word. Now don't ask the question, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. What am I doing something wrong? Am I in sin? Friends, we know. As we walk in the spirit, we will become sensitive. He will reveal it. He will show it. There's no condemnation. He will specifically convict certain things. And as we wait on him, as we acknowledge our complete inability to help God, but we want, because of who is within us, Lord, we love you and I no longer want this in my life, I appeal to you. Thank you for the cross. Lord Jesus, you have promised that you will perfect that which concerns me, and I now confess your faithfulness, I confess your blood over my life to deal with this unbelief. And I thank you, Father, that you will work in me. You have promised to work in me both to will and to do for your good pleasure. Friends, Jesus has taken us on. We didn't save ourselves. He has taken us on. He has taken on the project of saving you and I. Let him do it. Let him do it. Our salvation is an encounter with a living Christ that has changed our life and will continue to change our life if we let that life live itself in and through us. Praise God. Let him live his life in and through us by yielding. The reason we sometimes have struggle with that, again, I keep saying, I must have said it 5 times per sentence, is that fear, that unbelief, friends. God has not given us that, has he? The other one gave us that. Now remember, through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. That's our confession, that's our faith. But let's ask God to reveal, Lord, show me what that means. Work in me to experience it. God's word is that medicine, that healing, that deliverance, that encounter with Christ in our hearts, God's word in our heart. And some through their ministry, some through their walk, and the overcomers will actually experience those glorious divine encounters. But it's the faith in our hearts. Jesus said, blessed is he who has not seen and yet believes. Praise God. Praise God. Now, there's nothing to be complacent about. I know we're magnifying God's grace. But dear friends, our problem is, because we're Christians, we think that we have a just cause. Oh, well, God has saved me. I'm a Christian now. He must fight for me. There's an example in the Old Testament, Judges 19. We won't go there. It's a long, you can read it there for your own edification. It's a long account. But a great atrocity was committed in Israel by the Benjamites. Great atrocity. And a civil war, sadly a civil war broke out. And the children of Israel, they had a just cause. An awful abomination took place. And yet Benjamin two or three times defeated them. And they cried out to God. And then they got defeated and went back to the Lord and continued to cry out to God. Does it sound familiar? But when they began to seek the Lord with praise and worship and fasting until the going down of the sun, they then heard the voice of the Lord again, and they obeyed what God did. And the scriptural testimony is that the Lord fought for them and defeated their enemies. Instead of them fighting and being defeated, the Lord then heard their cry. Why has he got to do that? Well, because he knows us only too well. It's for us to rise up. Not saying, Lord, why aren't you rising up and fighting? He's saying, son, daughter, son, why aren't you rising up in my strength and fighting? Because he really is doing the one that's rising up. Because we've just been looking at it. Our new life in the Spirit. Not me that lives, but Christ. So in a real sense, it is him. But it's us that must allow, stir up those gifts. Allow that to take place. Not like a whirling dervish all whooping and getting excited, but allowing the Spirit. It's the Spirit, it's the Lord who stirs us up to believe and take hold and walk with him. Because why? Because I'm sure I can I don't have the right to speak for you, but I'm sure you'll agree with me. I've had enough of those husks. Those pig husks of religion, I've had enough. Sick of it. Sick of it. I want the real thing. I want to go back to my Father's heart, to my Father's feast, into my Father's house and dwell in his presence and be his son and experience the privileges and authority of sonship. But first I must prove myself faithful. And how do I do that? Believing. Just believe. And why don't I believe? Because of all those things in my heart that I've asked God to remove, to plough up and remove and let the seed of his word produce a hundredfold fruit. Dear friends, we were born to walk in the Spirit. We were born again to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Praise God. There's a lot more I want to cover in this, but praise God, time, you know what I mean. So we'll continue this next week. Thank you for your attention, brothers and sisters. I trust that has been healing and deliverance and encouragement to you. Friends, we are King's kids. Let's walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We belong in the Spirit. We are people of the Spirit. The devil is a liar. Sin is a lie. Death no longer has a hold on us. Jesus is alive. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Let's walk in that resurrection. Let's walk in that newness, that resurrection, life and power. As he works in us, he will then work through us. Now, no condemnation. He will meet you where you're at. If at the moment, if today, hearing this word, you're not sure what the next day or week or month will bring, receive the word. You see, you're again, it's that fear. What about tomorrow? What if I go through something that I can't handle? Receive this word in the heart, and it will eventually bear fruit. But be honest about where we are now. That's all. And God will meet us there and take us further. He will take us to where we're to be. But I know in my heart, through what God is doing in this, that actually what we're confessing, what we need to be dealing with, is that old fear, that unbelief. Whatever Jezebel and Satan and Antichrist are doing up in the heavenlies, when we're free of that fear and unbelief, when we're free of that pride because we're afraid of what God will expose, well, friends, he's already exposed, isn't he, if we're thinking that. You know, you're the last one to see. Because nobody's criticising, nobody's looking. We don't know our own hearts. But God has given some a discernment, and we see things manifesting, not to criticise, but to bow the knee and pray the thing through. Because that's what Jesus did. He prayed for Peter, that your faith would fail not. And he wept bitterly. And we're going to weep bitterly when we see, Lord, was that really, and was that me really? In me. Not your brother and sister, in me. And as we weep that repentance, we learn what commitment really. Peter thought he was committed by saying that. But when it actually came to it, he fled. He denied the Lord. They all fled. Okay. But God in his love will show us, he will teach us and bring us all through. You don't know what's in your own heart. I don't know what's in my own heart. It's a gift. When discernment operates, it's a gift by the Spirit. Not necessarily one of the 12 gifts, but a working of the Spirit, an inner discernment, inner knowing by the Spirit, for the purpose of standing in the gap for your brother and sister. That's love. It isn't love to point out the obvious. When you yourself, or me myself, we're still in a mess in areas. But as we receive this word, as we receive the truth of God's word in our hearts, let that life live itself. It will bear fruit. Praise the living God. Because why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us to pray through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He has undertaken to save us, and he has never yet met a job he cannot finish. Glory to the living God. And that's the importance, that's the significance of this parable. That those who have started this journey, who have truly partaken of the Father's love, will complete their journey and see it through to glory. Praise God. Why? Because he who is eternal, he who is eternal life, dwells within us. By his presence, by his Spirit, by his word. Praise God. Praise God. One day we're going to laugh at trials. We're free of fear. We won't be flippant, but it's like we're saying to the enemy, really, is that all you got? Really? You know, we're not going to be flippant, are we, because authority, etc. But, oh friends, this life, we won't come out, you know, in a sense, we won't leave it alive in one sense, will we? One way or another, the cross is going to do its work. Let's enjoy the Lord. Life in the Spirit. Praise God. The old rebellion, the old nature, the old sin, the old death is gone. It's dead and buried. Let's walk in that newness of life and that resurrection. Let's ask him to do that in us, dear brothers and sisters. Well, if it helps, I've said when I hear that, if it helps you, use your own words. But Lord, plough up this heart. Do that work. Plough this heart. Prepare it. Let your word find its place in my heart. I want to bear that hundredfold fruit for your glory. Remove those stones. Here am I, Lord, whatever it takes. Do with me what you will. I am yours, and you are mine. Let your love rule my life. And those of you who know me, will know that I'm still on a journey. Forgive me, brethren, but you know what I'm saying. We're still on a journey, but you also, praise God, I trust, can see Christ also. There's hope, is there not? I'm not apologising to you, but I am confessing that I'm still a work in progress. I'm still waiting on the Lord for some answers, but I believe it. I'm beginning to make breakthroughs. I'm beginning to see things manifesting in my life and experience a clarity of mind and an authority that I wasn't experiencing a month ago. Lord's a new anointing, dear friends, of that power and love and a sound mind. A new anointing coming down from heaven above of joy and peace and love. We're getting prepared for the greater works. We're going to experience that holiness, that purity, that Christian perfection, the fruit of the Spirit, that commitment. Glory to God! Why? Because Jesus is our teacher. If only we'd let him, if only we'd learn the lesson. And the one thing in closing that is stopping us learning that lesson is that hard heart of unbelief in which those tares of fear and sin and death. The weed, love will thrive on that bit of ground. The weeds, they're opportunists. They'll spring up overnight on the thin ground and hard heart. They don't need a lot, weeds don't. But the real thing needs cultivating. Praise the living God. Let the Lord do it. God bless you, brethren. I want to carry on for another 3 or 4 hours, but I understand. God bless you, brethren. We'll meet again next week, Sunday. Various announcements, I'm sure. But is it Sunday? Sunday, 10:30 a.m., praise God, UK time. And again next Tuesday. We really value, appreciate your fellowship. And I trust that you'll have a truly blessed week in the Lord. Experience, enjoy his presence, that new life. Just as a baby is born and grows by nature and nurture. Come on, we've been born again. Let that nature and God's nurture bring us to maturity. God bless you, my dear brethren. And have that blessed week and glory time with the Lord. And receive your healing. Receive it in your heart. From the word, receive your deliverance and let God work it out how he will. The time and manner of manifestation is in his hands, but you have it now in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you, brethren.